You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
It's time to get organized with Dr. Craig and Citizen Action. Working for democracy and taking on economic, racial, and environmental issues across Wisconsin and around the United States, here's Earl Ingram with Dr. Robert Craig.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. It's Wednesday. That means the one and only Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action, is on the line. Dr. Craig, before we get to you, Charles has been waiting patiently. Charles, thank you very much. You want to respond to the debate? You say what?
Good morning, Earl. I thought Governor Walz did a pretty decent job, especially for him to already know that debating is not probably one of his strong suits. Only thing I hate that he didn't do was right off the bat push back on J.D. Vance with this whole narrative that, well, Kamala Harris administration, she's been the president basically for the last 3.5 years. Why hasn't she done anything? Every time he talked, J.D. Vance, he made sure to reference Kamala Harris administration like she's been the president for 3.5 years. And the sad thing is you got, I don't want to say uneducated people out here, but you have people that are ignorant enough to sit back and say, well, yeah, you're right. Kamala Harris hasn't done anything. She's been the president, when the average person knows that the vice president does what the president tells them to do.
You said the average person. I don't know. Man, I don't know if the average person, just based on the fact that Donald Trump and the Republican Party continue to give out that false information as if Kamala Harris has been the person who is overthrew. Why didn't she do this? She's had 3.5 years. Why shouldn't she? Why? And yes, you're absolutely correct. There are people who keep, echoing those things. And the more they echo those things, the more there are people who nod their heads and, in the affirmative that she's been the person calling the shots for the Biden-Harris last three and a half years, which we know is not true. Hey, Charles, thank you very much for the call. Good morning to you, Dr. Craig. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. How are you, Earl?
All right. You saw the debate?
Yeah. just picking up where the last caller left off, that was one of the more frustrating things. But to put it in context, because I went to school on debate scholarship and then got through a master's program being paid to be an assistant college debate coach. So I can see everything that Vance was doing, though, quite frankly, Yale is not a first-tier upper division debate program. It isn't. Harvard is, Yale isn't, right. Just FYI. I have to hold myself back because it's not a real debate.
Right.
The audience is two groups of people. This small group of mushy people, they're not really in the middle. They just hold conflicting ideas. There's a real confusion about that. And they may be politically engaged, but they're willing to be both pro-immigrant and believe that there are teeming hordes of murderers and rapists come across the border. They literally can hold contradictory views and live next to immigrants and be friends with them, that kind of thing. I've been in plenty of focus groups and heard from these voters. They're very confounding. Then those who may or may not vote, right? And if they did vote, would vote for one side or the other. So the question is whether they'll vote, right? Those tend to be, with some exceptions, more disengaged voters, less likely to be listening. So the audience is more of this people who are able to hold contradictory, conflicting views, and are kind of like weather vanes in some ways. It's not a perfect analogy. And so they're not counting debate points. They're not saying, oh, Vance just said this, why didn't Walz contradict it? And so I think all the debate prep was geared to that. And to the previous caller, I think they decided that the consequence, because they did lots of prep and they had really bright people doing this, that they decided the consequence of her saying, I'm only vice president, I wasn't in charge, is number one, then she's asked to explain where she disagreed with President Biden, and she gets separated from him, and that, of course, could cause a lot of other divisions in the party. And the second thing, she is trying to have it both ways in a way, both benefit from the popular things Biden did, but also get some distance from him as I have been president, which is true. And therefore, his way of doing it was to say things like on the immigration border security bill that Trump killed, that came from the senator from Oklahoma, right? A very conservative bill. Doesn't it require Congress? Doesn't this just, so in other words, to try to say the VP couldn't have just done border security on her own, even if you believe this canard that she was the border czar. And by the way, there's another principle that's really important. That is when you restate an attack, you're actually reaffirming it. So if you were to say, she's not really the border czar, she was in charge of investigating what we could do in Central America in order to reduce the flow of immigrants, and she actually helped develop a lot of resources that have helped stem the flow, that's too complicated. Just let it go and make your case. And that's why he didn't bring up, for example, the outrageous lie made up by Vance that Haitian immigrants in Springfield, Ohio are eating cats and dogs, because then you're repeating it and giving it more legs, right? And it triggers this horrible reaction in their mind that when you disprove it, your argument actually is less strong than the visceral reaction to just the statement of it.
Dr. Craig, you know, with your vast training in all of this, what is your thought about people just being beaten down with nonstop media constantly? Same thing over and over, and you almost don't want to watch television because it's just nonstop propaganda. And we still got 37 days, 35 days, whatever it is, your head is about to explode. The impact of that repeated, these repeated, you know, commercials, does it really have any impact on people psychologically? I mean, people are starting to turn it off. You know, I mean, you get tired of it.
It's one of the things that's degrading democracy, and it's not just the TV ads, which are only 20% of the spending. 80% is digital now, which means it's customized to smaller audiences, right?
Right.
And then there's all the other campaign activities, all the mail, all the phone calls, right, all the canvases. We need more volunteer canvases. They're better because it's actual neighbors talking to people. That's what we do at CIS in Action in Wisconsin. I can tell you that I do our phone bank twice a week, and we do a different state assembly district. Then we talk about the presidential and right, congressional, if we're in Western Wisconsin, or the U.S. Senate. And we're already in early October getting more and more caller, people who pick up the phone and just can't deal with it anymore, right? And they're turning it off, right? Not all of them. I had some great conversations last night ahead of the debate, but you can see already a month out, and it's going to get worse because Wisconsin, hundreds of millions are being spent in Wisconsin, right?
Right.
And every time you turn on, I talked to one woman I had a great conversation with, but she had just been trying to catch up on her emails from the day. And of course, getting online, she had been hammered with social media, with digital ads. And I had to like kind of make a connection with her to get her over that. And then we had a great 20-minute conversation that was extremely helpful. But I'm saying that that is a problem because everything's short term. Everyone's trying to win this election and live to fight another day. Right. Democrats, especially because we don't know what happens if Trump is president again. And then but the accumulation of that election after election after election will go right into another critical state Supreme Court race, Earl, just like we did in 2022 and 2025. And so, yeah, it is chasing people away. I guess if I had won Tim Walz's critique here, they really, you know, when you I coach debate at University of Georgia, which has won a couple national championships, and you had to coach to the debater You didn't just decide, here's the perfect debater. I mean, in other words, I think Walz, even though he did fine and he really got him at the end, right, on democracy and in the Affordable Care Act and did well on abortion,
right,
that we didn't hear enough of that Walz personality that's so appealing. And what's appealing about it is it's not like normal politics. And you know what? Vance is so smooth, it's the smoothness of Fox News. I think it wears on people, right? It's the way Scott Walker was smooth, but wore on people. I think that's one of the main reasons Walker didn't win a third term. People were just sick of him being in their face every night on local news.
But Dr. Craig, so Vance is smooth, that's fine. The guy who he's running with is, you know, a carpetbagger. So the smoothness of Vance, you really are not going to see because the other guy's burning down the towns. And so this, you know, respite from having Vance out front is not going to change the other guy who's burning down the towns.
Yeah, so a good debater, and by the way, good in terms of effectiveness. As far as ethics, the man lies so easily, it's very disconcerting. And he's changed his views so easily and with such conviction. And his willingness to dodge a question and use his family or use someone he met, right? But then never really say, I'm going to do anything to guarantee that women aren't being dying in red states because they can't get basic healthcare because of the abortion bans, or paid family medical leave, the Affordable Care Act, all of it. He lies very easily. But what a debater can do is a good debater can make up for a bad case. So if I was, worth my salt, I went undergrad at University of Pittsburgh on a debate scholarship. Then if I was in a debate round against a school that maybe wasn't as highly rated, and they had the better case, if I could debate well enough better, I could still win the debate. And that's what Vance is relying on. And the problem is, he has a really, really bad case to make. And the other problem is, the way he presented the case is so different than Trump. And they're going to be thinking about Trump.
Right.
If they like what Vance did, when they turn on Trump, that's not what they're going to hear. And in fact, there's some commentary that people will be upset about. Trump will be upset and ego affected by the positive assessment of Vance's skill.
All right, 855-752-4842, Dr. Robert Craig, Executive Director of Citizen Action on the Earl Ingram Show. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. 855-752-4842. That's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with the one and only Dr. Robert Craig. Dr. Craig, you know, we get so caught up in the national politics, and this is an issue that I think, you know, people may not be aware of. It's on the ballot. Wisconsin ballot asks voters to amend Constitution again. And so voters in Wisconsin will be brought into a national debate this fall as they are asked to approve a state constitution amendment that would forbid city governments from allowing non-citizens to vote in local elections. The proposed amendment is on the November 5th ballot, despite substantial evidence that it's rare for foreign clients to vote illegally in the United States. Current law already bans non-citizens from voting in Wisconsin elections for state or federal offices. So, Dr. Craig, they've again created a monster, a boogeyman, and then put this on the ballot, and they'll put it in a term of verbiage that the average person won't understand it. And we know what the purpose is behind this, right? I mean, this is unnecessary.
It's the new wrinkle on the 2020 big lie. So this time, rather than claiming it was Hugo Chavez, the former Venezuelan leader from the grave, manipulating the election through voting machines, they're going to say that it was a massive illegal immigrants voting, and they're going to overstate how many are here, how much of it is somehow Vice President Harris's fault, and that's going to be the reason Trump didn't win, because as we learned at the end of the debate last night, where if Walz won it, he won it because he was losing on points and he got a technical knockout in the last round. Vance could not admit that Trump lost because that would offend his boss. Right. And he has decided to tie himself to Donald Trump entirely after first staking his career on opposing Donald Trump, very famously. And those words right. have been used against him. Amazing how smooth he is at looking the camera straight face and being unflummoxed by any of the unbelievable. So if you said that strong a thing about Trump then and now you're wrong, what are you wrong about now? Does it make you reconsider your approach to the world? But anyway. So they're making this up, and with this constitutional amendment, it's a little unclear what practical effect it will have, Earl. There's no locality in Wisconsin that allows non-citizens to vote, though there are other blue cities around the country that do. The Constitution already requires someone be a citizen to vote. This just changes the language to power word it. Maybe it would cause the state Supreme Court to justify, say, the state legislature passing some proof of citizenship, show your papers, voting requirement, that would be very disenfranchising. The one thing that's very clear about it is it's designed to foment the big lie that massive numbers of illegal immigrants vote. They're not voting because that's a very good way to get caught and deported. They're just here to try to make ends meet and hopefully send some money back to their families that need it, right? They're not here to go vote and affect elections. And they certainly rationally know one vote won't make any difference. So it's exceedingly rare, and it's by accident when it happens. But if you make up the big lie, then they'll have this result in Wisconsin. Look, 80% of Wisconsinites, whatever it is, voted and said they're concerned about illegal immigrants voting. But the other thing they're doing in other states, like Minnesota, like Michigan, they're using this to try to generate additional voter turnout. And we haven't seen that yet, but that may be what's mostly behind this, that they can drive people, a lot of people who might not vote on the Trump side, to go to the polls to prevent all of those illegal immigrants from voting and amend the Constitution. But if it's a close election, we're in for it, because this will be the declaration right after the election. If it's close at all, and who knows? We don't know what happens if Trump really gets blown out. He may still make this claim.
So cities and towns in three states allow non-citizens to vote in local elections for school board and city government, arguing that those residents pay taxes that fund community services. The Wisconsin Constitution doesn't explicitly bar towns, villages, and cities from doing something similar, although no local governments in the state have allowed non-citizens to vote. Republicans argue the state shouldn't take any chances. They frame the amendment as a common sense measure to ensure only U.S. citizens are allowed to vote in Wisconsin elections. So, you know, Dr. Craig, for people who don't understand and people who twist the meaning and the words, and it's unfortunate, but we have so many people who are so busy doing the things that they need to survive, they don't understand the legalese of what this is. And so they are going to think that, yeah, this is what we're trying to do, is shut down all of those illegals who have been voting. You know, they win because they're able to get this on the ballot.
They're very good, Earl, at finding a way to put something on the ballot that the average person that ballot backs will think makes common sense, but doesn't, right? Photo ID is that kind of thing. And so because Democrats have let the immigration debate go so far, in other words, have like, oh, we're tough too, right? And they've been allowed to have this free field to make up this lie that our elections are being, that there are a lot of people who are not citizens who are voting and that's affecting elections. It just aren't. It's more than likely to pass, but we're working against it. League of Women Voters has been leading a coalition effort. Some great work's being done to try to take voters, if you are right here, Earl. But unfortunately, it'll probably make too much common sense to people. It'll probably be enacted, and that's a shame.
All right, 855-752-4842. Guys, hang on the phone lines. It's Wednesday. That means Wednesdays with the one and only Dr. Robert Craig of Citizen Action and you on the Earl Ingram Show.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
You know that it would be untrue. You know that I would be a liar if I was to say to you, hey, girl, we couldn't get much higher. Come on, baby, light my fire. Come on, baby, light my fire. Try to set the night on fire.
All right, welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. It's the one and only Dr. Craig from Citizen Action on the docket. So Dr. Craig, and we'll go to the phones after this. You've been in this game for a long time, and the ups and downs of a race of the magnitude of this one kind of wears on the psyche of people. And so you get to a point where several months ago we were in the doldrums because we were watching Joe Biden and what he was going through, and so you were watching Donald Trump thumbing his nose at him, and clearly Donald Trump was starting to run away with things, and so people were starting to feel down and out. Then, you know, Kamala Harris comes in and turns things around, and people are thrilled and excited, and it looks like, hey, we're there. She's going to defeat him. And I never will forget you saying, hey, don't take this too high, right? There's a lot of work to be done. It's more than emotion. Basically, it's what you were saying. This is going to be a long, protracted struggle. And so we're there now. We're in that long, protracted struggle where the newness of Harris and Walz has worn off. And so although she's still raising money at record levels, we're still at a point where we can't say this nightmare is going to end. So how do you, and what do you say to those troops that you have who are in this and all of it for the long haul, and just those of us who, man, we feel like a ping pong ball? What do you want to say to us to keep our spirits up as we start moving further down the road? Dr. Craig, we can't hear you. Still can't hear you.
Oh, I was
okay.
I didn't change a thing.
That's okay. We can hear you now. Well, I mean, how do we keep our spirits up?
So, I mean, this, you know, this goes back to Theodore Parker. Martin Luther King Jr. used it. The arc of history is long, but it bends towards justice.
Right.
Now, he didn't mean, neither King nor Parker, the Unitarian minister from the 1850s. He was talking about slavery.
Right.
Okay. And which we had slavery legally, and it seemed like we'd never be able to get rid of it.
Right.
He wasn't saying naturally bend, just stay back, it'll bend towards justice. Wasn't that kind of naive optimism. It was, we can bend it towards justice. So it's a little bit, it's a participatory sport. Life is,
right.
Democracy is.
Right.
It is a sport in that way. So in a football game, if things are going bad, right, if the Packers are behind, you don't throw your hands up. Why is this continue? This team keeps coming back. We think we have a lead, and then we don't. It's tied again.
Right.
But what is it? You have to pull together, and you have to win the game, and you have to find the strength to overcome it. And this tension is continued and will continue as long as there is human history. That is, there is a tension between the good side of human nature and the evil side of human nature. Human nature, we have a propensity for great evil, and a lot of it going on in the world now, a lot of it historically, and we have a propensity for incredible goodness. And in fact, it's in all of us, it's just in different degrees. And there's not like the nugget, this is the problem with the right-wing view. We're the good people, and there are these evil, you know, they mean it literally, people over here. That's not how it is. And so we need to really be fighting for justice. But if we win, we have an obligation to keep fighting to actually achieve. This is about achieving things. Things like paid family medical leave, the only major country in the world that has 0 weeks of guaranteed paid leave. Making childcare both accessible, and as Tim Walz did try to articulate last night, you need to pay the childcare workers a decent wage, more than a decent wage. That's pretty darn important work, right? And we saw Vance's, you know, claim that somehow he or they would do anything about that whatsoever. You know what? They are the captive of the major corporations that want no such requirements whatsoever. And in fact, wanted one exploitable workforce, but will pay nothing to make sure people can actually take the jobs and keep the jobs and have families. Corporate American Wall Street doesn't care if your family life is sustainable. It just doesn't. It cares about its quarterly balance sheet, and that's where Vance comes from. So we just have to, just like you have to find a way to motivate the football team in the fourth quarter, okay, guys, we got one more quarter, we got to pull this out. It's the same thing.
Well, you know, Dr. Craig, you know, an old axiom, there is no rest for the weary. And even if you know, we win, as you just stated, the work has to continue. You know, the victory is not won if Kamala and Tim Walz wind up, you know, in the position, because there's still Congress and the Senate and all of these things that need to happen. They're not going to happen by osmosis. If Kamala Harris wins, is it safe to say that?
Yeah, and for example, a lot of what Kamala Harris has promised and Tim Walz has promised and Joe Biden was not able to achieve yet, that he promised and was committed to, can't happen with the Senate filibuster. The Senate is already a minority institution. It represents land more than people. The Dakotas get 4 senators, California gets 2, right? It's absurd. And we're going to add on to that minority feature of the U.S. Senate that's not proportional based on population, this filibuster where you have to have 60 of the votes, then a quarter of the votes can block anything. And so did you notice that we, I don't think we got to this on the show, or maybe you did with another guest, that I don't think it had any influence whatsoever, but that Kamala Harris lost the Joe Manchin endorsement over the filibuster, that Joe Manchin was very offended that she said we should we should guarantee the right to abortion, to reproductive freedom for every woman, and go around the filibuster. That was apparently a deal breaker and was going to cause the end of the republic, according to Joe Manchin, even though the founders, in their wisdom, didn't put the filibuster in there. The defenders of slavery did.
All right, let's go to Tom from L.A. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, good morning. Dr. Craig, I got to push back at you a little bit, because I heard you say that you said that we don't know what Donald Trump will do. We know, because of the Supreme Court of the United States and the Chevron Doctrine and the immunity from prosecution and J.D. Vance writing the foreword to Project 2025, we know exactly what he will do. This will be the end of our democracy. I'm not being hyperbolic. I'm being honest. That's why I'm working. I'm phone banking. I'm doing the door-to-door. I'm doing everything I can. But we need to stop this on our on the progressive left by saying we don't know what Donald Trump – BS, we know what he'll do. Like Mike Angelo says, when they show you who they are, believe them. Because this is not another day – to fight. This is it, game. Guys, this is the ball game. So I hope everyone takes this seriously. And I am so sorry that Wisconsin has so much power. Maybe if we had an actual popular vote rather than this electoral college, Wisconsin would not be getting bombarded with ads like they are.
Hey, Tom, thank you very much for the call. Dr. Craig, you want to respond to Tom?
Yeah, I don't think when I what I was talking about was that in particular, not believing that Trump would try to do these things. I mean, we don't want to overstate. I think it's very dangerous, and we should act as if, you know, we know the Packers lost to the Vikings this week, but the game is going to be by the same rules. They can beat them again in the second game this year, right? Beat them in future years. That the whole situation may change, that Trump wants to go and prosecute all of his enemies and do these things. But this is not a banana republic in the sense that we don't have any other civic institutions. We don't know how it's going to turn out, right? It depends upon a lot of other actors. It will be bad, it will be messy, and we should not risk it. Whether he'd be able to end democracy permanently, what he'll do is he won't, and he'll have a fake democracy like Orban in Hungary. That's why they love Orban. That's why Fox News hosts go and like Tucker Carlson and spend time in Hungary, because he has all the trappings of democracy, but only one side could win. It's a lot like what our gerrymandered legislature was until we got a new state Supreme Court and upheld an actual state constitution. And so it's an extremely dangerous, stabilizing situation. What it might, Tom, we need to win, I agree. But if we don't win, then we're going to need you and others to be engaged in and let's say nothing else stands up to him, that he's able to do what he wants and make the presidency a monarchy, like the U.S. Supreme Court made it constitutionally out of thin air, even though that was the opposite of the intention of the people who wrote the Constitution, then we would need a nonviolent movement to overturn him. And so we're going to need to remember that we need to keep fighting even if the worst happens. And we certainly, I totally agree with Tom, should not take anything for granted. And the best way to avoid this problem is to defeat him in this election. But then we got to fight on, even if we can't control if the longshoreman strike is going to cause a huge spike in inflation and throw this election a couple points that'll put Trump in office. That could happen. We can't control whatever Netanyahu's going to do next. And President Biden has a lot of complicity in that because he has refused to have any teeth on this, any consequences, and just plead with Netanyahu and let Netanyahu undermine all of his diplomatic efforts when we are paying much of the bill. And so that really, I don't know. Are we going to have? Is going to be a war with Iran that is started between because it looks like no one wants it in the Middle East other than Netanyahu, and it makes him popular now and keeps him in office. That the attack on Hezbollah in Lebanon is helping him politically and keeping him politically alive and out of jail.
Let's go quickly to Jean from Eau Claire. Good morning to you, Jean. You say what?
Thank you for taking my call. I agree with L.A. Tom, and I think that people need to get out there and vote for all Democrats. I'm an independent, been one my entire life. I've had complaints about both sides forever, and I'm almost 70. But what's going on here and what I've seen to these past 8 years and beyond, which started in the state of Wisconsin with Scott Walker, and people were very relieved when Scott Walker was beaten. However, they were concerned about him because there were a lot of outcry and things like that. Well, all the outcry we got right now is to get out there and vote and stop this from happening. And thank you very much for taking my call.
Hey, Jean. Thank you as well. Guys, hang on. 855-752-4842, Dr. Robert Craig and you.
You better lie, you better lie, you better light my fire, and we're gonna get much higher. Oh, come on, girl, you know I love you, girl, you know I need you, babe, come on.
Yeah, bad luck. Welcome back to the Earl Ingram Show. As always, you can join us at 855-752-4842. Dr. Robert Craig of Citizen Action still on the docket. You know, Dr. Craig, Teddy Pendergrass is talking about bad luck, and you said it before we went to break. You were talking about the fact that all these different things can happen. The war, possibly, with Iran and Israel. You can talk about the dock strike. You can also talk about the fact that Saudi Arabia is telling the other nations to stop producing oil because the barrels of oil are going to go down to $50. You got to stop producing. All of these things happening simultaneously, Dr. Craig, can impact the election. Is it safe to say that?
Yeah, because of the unequal electoral college, it's a 50-50 proposition. It's not actually as far as the popular vote, which is scandalous. We shouldn't forget. And so, yeah, at the outside conditions, whether or not we're running into a headwind or trying to row upstream, or whether, you know, could go the other way and it's a tailwind, or we're moving downstream rapidly in which it could be a blowout, the margin of what could happen is pretty large. I don't think Trump wins by a large margin. I think Trump either ekes it out because the conditions, the external conditions allow it, and maybe Harris doesn't finish as strong as she started, right? It's sort of like having a lot of momentum in the first quarter and then losing it, by the football analogy. But it is possible for Harris and Walz to win this in a blowout, both under their certain conditions and depending on how they finish the race. But there isn't going to be another debate, right? I mean, a presidential debate, and the VP debate doesn't. I think the main VP debate impact, which is bad long term, to Tom's point, is it may have rehabilitated Vance and made him available for future national office, which is not a good thing, but I don't think it did much to help Trump.
You know, Dr. Gray, I want to push back to something Tom is saying here on the text. It's not difficult. Just everyone needs to get out and vote. Stop making it sound like it's difficult. You can even vote from home. If it was that easy, Tom, then 50% of the American people would not be voting. You know, there's a segment of the population that believes in it. There's another segment of it that does not. And if it was so easy to get everybody to just get out and vote without what Dr. Craig and his organization and others are doing, you know, there are people who don't believe any of this on both sides. They don't believe that this is going to change their lives. And so you've got to work to try to get them to see where it does. Dr. Craig, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, and Tom's doing the right things. He has great analysis on this show when he calls in, and he's volunteering, he's phone banking. He said, that's great. That's what we need to do. But that's our agency. This show speaks to the already engaged, right?
Correct.
That's who the audience is. But our agency is the engaged, is to find a way to talk a lot more to the unengaged or the conflicted, right? Which is your quote unquote swing voter. And so that's our agency. We can't, that's the paradox of freedom. The paradox of freedom is that people are free to vote and influence and get involved and influence our society. People are free not to. We have to encourage people to not abuse their freedom, but to use it, right? If not enough people use their freedom in the right way, yeah, we could have an exceedingly dangerous situation, as Tom pointed out on his call. It will be exceedingly dangerous. We don't know exactly how it will turn out in the end because Trump may not control all of that. And so, but our agency is to work among people within our sphere of influence to talk to as many people who need to be talked to between now and the election. That's all that we can do. But saying, and I didn't see the text, and it's a text. Text is not always the most, people can't fully express themselves on a text, right? Just like social media.
Right.
So it can be kind of power worded. But it doesn't help to tell us that it's easy for people to vote who aren't going to vote. We got to talk to people who aren't going to vote. We have to inspire them to do so because they have every right in our society, the freedom to choose not to.
All right, let's go to Cindy quickly. Cindy, go ahead.
Well, I just wanted to say that if Iran and Iraq go to war, I hope the heck we keep our noses out of it because that will kill the election for Harrison Walz, even though this would still be a decision made under the Biden administration.
Hey, Cindy.
I hope that we stay out of it.
Well, Cindy, thank you very much. Dr. Craig, thank you. Guys on the phone lines, I'm sorry we couldn't get to you, but we'll certainly do it on tomorrow. Thank you for listening. Thank you for taking the time out to call. Thank you, Calvin, as always. And you, Dr. Craig, we'll see you in a week. Up next, Jane Matinair and Greg Bach, Matinair on Air. Enjoy this beautiful weather. See you tomorrow.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.